Amen. Open your Bibles to James. James chapter number 4 this evening. We'll continue to study the subject of prayer this evening. And I want to read, first of all, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Father, I ask that you would meet us here tonight. And then, Father, as we study this very, very important subject of prayer, that you would open our hearts, Father, and help us see something tonight, something that will help us. Lord, as we communicate, as we have fellowship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, as I was considering this subject of prayer, we're working on prayer on the evening services, and on Sunday morning we're preaching on holiness, and in our Sunday school we're working on revival. And it struck me how closely related all of these things are. And I was thinking, now, could I possibly diagram those relationships? Could I put that down in something, some way that we could see them visually? I'm visual. All right? You walk in my office and it's instant. Okay? You look at the calendars and you know that the only way, you know, Brother Tom is visually oriented. All right? So I like to be able to see it. And as I was thinking about this, I began sketching out and working on and playing with something that I'm going to call the prayer circuit. Now I'm going to risk being simplistic, because the relationships I'm describing here are not simple. But they're also not so difficult that we can't understand them. And once we begin to understand some of the things that go into prayer and the Christian life, then we begin to get a better feel for how to be successful in doing it. And first of all, I want to make a note that none of this exists apart from this on this side. That apart from the work on Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ, and apart from you coming to Him by faith, there is no prayer circuit. There is no connection. There is no interplay. See, sin has severed that connection between us and God. Now, God will hear a sinner's prayer. But the one He hears is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the one He's listening for. Okay. So apart from that work, there is no circuit. There is no connection. But as soon as we have reached the point where we have put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and we've been adopted into the family of God, we've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we are granted the privilege of prayer. And prayer takes place between the Father and the Christian. See, that's what the priesthood of believers is about. You don't need somebody to intercede for you. Christ is your intercessor. And you have access to the Father. Okay? Now, I did put the Spirit between the Christian and the Father. Okay? Now, that's a good place for Him to be. Because as we study the subject of prayer, we find out that He does indwell us. And I put the indwelling Spirit. So that connection is a little hard to, or that distance is a little hard to measure, since He's living in us. But it's the Holy Spirit that intercedes for us. He's the one who is praying with us with groanings that can't be uttered. He is the one that's providing us with the wisdom that we need to pray. He is giving us the power to do the work that we need to do, the guidance that we need, and the wisdom to understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is working in us. And as He does that work, we should be giving back a submissive spirit, an obedient spirit, and ultimately, practical, real-life holiness. That's where we want to be. And that thing is continual. That thing is working and it's going. And what we do is we see as a Christian that we are praying. We are lifting up our petitions, our requests to the Father. And as we pray, the Father hears and the answer comes down. And we know from our study that God intends to answer our prayers. It's His desire to answer our prayers. He has promised to answer our prayers. And based on this relationship, prayer should be answered prayer. But there is one little hitch in the program. Right? It's this little gadget right here. Okay? Now that can be whatever you want it to be. Amen? But what it is, it's a place that is dependent on some things. In order for this link, it's like a fuse in the circuit. You know what happens if your circuit breaker overloads? What happens? What happens when a fuse blows? No connection. The connection is severed. All right? Am I right? Amen? Okay? So what happens is, what we need to figure out then, if we want our prayer to be effective, is what blows the fuse. Amen? Now, we talked about one of those things the last time we talked. Okay? One of those things that blows the fuse. The first thing we have to make sure is that we are praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only through Him. It is only by virtue of the privileges and authority that He has granted to us that we have any right or any reason to pray. We must be praying in the name of the Lord Jesus. And really, that's covered over here. Right? That's covered in that conversion experience. We don't have to hang "in the name of the Lord Jesus" on the end of our prayers to know that we're praying in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus. In fact, just to prove that, I may stop doing it. Amen? Because we don't need it. Okay. Although it is necessary. The second thing we need to recognize is that in order for that circuit to remain intact, as we read in James, our prayers must be according to the will of God. According to the will of the Father. Now, I want to say something about that. I want you to flip over to 1 John chapter 5. And this will make this very clear for you. In order for our prayers to be answered, they must be according to the will of God. And as we consider this, you're going to see that makes perfect sense. All right? That's logical. It's reasonable that it would be that way. Look at 1 John 5. Beginning of verse 14, it says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him." Now, folks, that is very clear. If we ask according to His will, He hears us. And we know if He hears us, He answers. We will have the petition that we have asked of Him. Folks, in order to answer our prayer, God must have prayers that are consistent with the character of God. I say, what did you just say? Okay? Say, well, let me say this. God is not going to answer a prayer that's not good. Why not? Because God is good. And anything that we come to Him for that's not good, He cannot answer. It's not simply that He will not answer. He cannot answer. It's the same as if not sending a sinner to hell. God's justice and His holiness demand that there is a hell, demand that there is a punishment, demand that there is retribution for sin. It is only through the blood of Christ that He can exonerate a sinner. Why? Because of who He is and what He is. Prayer is no different. We come to God and we ask for something that is not good. And folks, wait a minute. God knows good a lot better than we know good. When we ask prayer for something that is not good, God will not answer our prayer. He cannot give an answer to prayer that would result in my glory. God's not about my glory. God's about His glory. Remember what we read in James? We ask that we might consume it on our own lust. We ask amiss. God can give an answer to prayer that's going to encourage sin or selfishness. Now, folks, that ought to make sense to us. I mean, we sit back and we look at who God is and we say, okay, we're coming to God with our petitions. We're lifting up our requests. And we're saying, God, do this. And God says, whoa, I can't do that. Because if I do that, then evil is going to thrive. Selfishness is going to be fed. Pride is going to be lifted up. I can't do that. And folks, we should understand that. We should be able to see very clearly that certainly God cannot do anything that we ask that is not according to His will. Certainly one of the most important steps in assuring our prayers are answered is to make sure that we know what He wants. Is it not? Oh, by the way, let me say this. Never fear the will of God. Okay? I have heard that even recently. I'm not sure about that when talking about the will of God. God's will is that He wants to give you exactly what you would want if you knew as much as He did, and if you knew how happy you would be for receiving it. Do you understand? That is the will of God. Yeah. And when you fear that, there's no reason for that. You know, we should cast ourselves. We should be earnestly seeking, searching, wanting His will in our lives. You have nothing to fear following the will of God. And folks, that's what we ought to be looking for. I mean, there may be somebody sitting here tonight and says, Brother Tom, if I follow the will of God, God might whatever. And the answer is, yes, He might. But the response to that is, praise His name. Because whatever He wants to do, wherever He wants to take you, whatever He wants to accomplish in your life, it's absolutely the best thing. Folks, we should want the will of God. We should earnestly seek after the will of God. Now, here's what I want to help you with. By the way, Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it." There's lots of blessings that come with strings attached. God's don't. Amen. Now, I want to give you just very quickly this evening the way to know the will of God. Say, Brother Tom, I've always wanted to hear that. I always wanted to know that. But I'm going to tell you, first of all, it's a lot like this diagram. It's not as complicated as we want to make it. Say, Brother Tom, I really do want to know the will of God. Well, I'm going to tell you how to find it. Amen. Okay? All right, you ready? Step one, confess and forsake all known. Wow. You guys already knew that. Confess and forsake all known sin. Psalm 66 verse 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Folks, if we're carrying around a load of sin and we're expecting God to answer our prayers, in fact, you might get a prayer answered, but it's like, ooh, I better be careful. It's like throwing dice. Amen. You know? You might get a prayer answered because you don't know what the will of God is. Because your sin is keeping you from your communication from God. Your sin is quenching the Holy Spirit in your life. Your sin is keeping you from having the guidance and the direction that you need from understanding the Word of God. And so if you pray to God, it's hit or miss. You know, maybe I'll get one as I go by. It's like hunting mice with a shotgun. Right? I know at least one person who's done that, okay? Pretty funny. Inside. Amen. But folks, you have to understand, it is the Holy Spirit that reveals God's will to us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is God's guide. It's the supernatural GPS. Amen. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Those verses are the reason that he is here in this diagram. It is essential for our prayers to be successful that we know the will of God. And in order to know the will of God, the Holy Spirit must be working. He must be functioning in our lives. Folks, sin grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit. The main reason that you have to get sin out of your life, okay, is that you cannot know the will of God with a quenched or grieved Holy Spirit. And therefore, you got to get it out. Now, there's something else you know. How to get it out. You know how to get it out. Okay? I think Miss Carrie just said it. 1 John 1:9. She knows that verse. I've already used it many times. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, folks, there's a lot there. Amen. There's several ifs there. If we confess. Right? You know, we talked about sin a couple of weeks ago. And one of the problems is that we are so accustomed to walking and living and wallowing in darkness that we've forgotten the things that we need to confess. And then after we go through this period of time and sin has quenched the Holy Spirit and we've lost our connection with God and we're not getting our prayers answered and we've forgotten why. And I just want to say this. Ask God to show you your sin and be open to what he shows you. Be open to what he shows you. Amen. First of all, you've got to confess and forsake any known sin. Second, to know the will of God, you have to have no will of your own. Now, I actually, if there was a part of this that's difficult, this is the one, okay? And I can give you a real good example. Bob and Donna Jellison want to move to Washington. Okay? And I'm supposed to pray about this. Right? We're thinking of doing this. You need to pray about this. Okay? And I'm supposed to not have any will in this thing. Right? Well, bah humbug. I have an interest. Okay? And I want them here. Simple as that. I mean, that's pure selfish. It's not pure selfish. It is pure selfish. Is it pure selfish? It's not pure selfish. You can see the issue. Huh? You know, sometimes it's hard to distinguish what I want and what I don't want. But what will have to be is that God's will have to be so important as to overshadow anything that I might want to put in that. I have to want His will more than my will. Okay. And in such a case, you can say that, okay, I can let this go. I can let this be in God's hands. Even though certainly I am interested in the outcome. Amen. Folks, we cannot pray selfishly and spiritually. It's as simple as that. Okay? Anything spotted by the flesh is displeasing to God. Our original text, James 4, verse number 3, said it this way. It said, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust." Lust is simply the desire of the flesh. In Romans 8:8, it says, "They that are in the flesh cannot please God." It's easy to see why God would not honor our desires, the lust of our flesh. Romans 13, 14. Look there, please. Romans 13, 14. The Bible says this, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to what? To fulfill the lust thereof." When we pray for God to fulfill our desires, we are not only putting on the flesh, we are carrying it to the throne of God. Here, God, it's about me. Thump. Do it. Now, none of us would ever do that consciously. But I'd venture to say that all of us have done it at one time or another. Folks, 1 Corinthians 1:26, God tells us something about Him, about Himself and about us. Beginning verse 26, it says, "For you," chapter 1, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." And the problem is, folks, that God's not going to share His glory with you. When God does things for His glory, not for your glory. And when we come to Him with the flesh, the desires of the flesh, that's not about God's glory. Isaiah 42:8, He said, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." Folks, if you would know the will of God, you must deny your own will. Look at Luke 17. Luke 17, the servant that was unprofitable. Luke 17. Jesus is teaching, verse 7. He said, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat'? And will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink'? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do.'" Do you not think that unprofitable servant was hungry and tired when he came into the field? His flesh wanted to eat. He wanted to lay down. He wanted to clean up. But the will of the pastor, the will of the master, was more important than his own desires. And for that, you'll notice he didn't get a special commendation. He got the opportunity to say, "I'm just an unprofitable servant." Amen? Folks, if you're going to know the will of God, you must get rid of the sin. You must have no will of your own. And finally, first, next, you must study the Word. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse number 1. "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman." Look at... where am I? Must be... verse number 7. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Folks, the idea of abiding and having His words abide in us is that we understand His word, the word of God. Any prayer contrary to the revealed word of God is not in the will of God. Now that one always baffles me, because that one is so clear and so obvious, and yet, folks, God is not going to make any exceptions to His word for me or for you. Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Now what does that mean? Practically, it means, folks, don't write a bad check and pray it doesn't get to the bank before you cover it. Folks, bad checks are lying and stealing. And God said not to do that in His Word. So don't do that and expect God to honor your prayer. You understand what I'm talking about? Don't marry or date a lost man and then expect God will save him. Folks, that's stupid. That is clearly contrary to the revealed will of God. Now, he may not be saved anyway. I mean, you date a saved man, you may find out you're in trouble. But I guarantee you're in trouble if you date a lost one. Or we could get testimony after testimony. And all we have to do is read the Word of God. Folks, don't cheat on your taxes and expect God to bless you financially. Well, God, I just saved this from the IRS and give it to you. God don't want it. And He will blow on it before it's done. Folks, the best tool, the absolute best tool for determining the will of God is study and meditation on the Word of God. The more of the Word of God that is in you, the more you understand of the character and the desires and the work of God, the better your prayers will be. The more of your prayers will be answered. See what I'm saying? How all these things fit together? You know, we tell you time and time again, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, study the Bible, memorize the Bible. And then I'll have somebody who will just be tortured because their prayer's not getting answered. Well, they don't know what to pray. Folks, if you want to know what to pray, find out what He wants. He gave you a whole... I mean, there's a lot of words in here. Amen. Finally, folks, if you want to know the will of God, you need to ask. You know, since we've begun this series on prayer, I have found that more and more of my prayer time is spent seeking God's will on a matter. You know, sometimes you confess your sin, you suppress your own will, you search the Scripture, and you don't know what the answer is. I mean, God hasn't shown you whether or not the Jellisons should move to Washington. It's not in Psalms. Amen. And they're moving to Washington is not stealing, unless it's from their church. Amen. I'll use that one next time. Amen. No. Folks, what do? You ask. You ask. And I want to turn you to a verse that we're going to see a lot in the near future, but Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15. Colossians 3:15, the Bible says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That rule, that means govern. Okay? It means administrate. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Folks, if you're asking God and you're asking God and you're pointing a certain direction or you're wanting to do something and you do not have the peace of God, you're not through praying. You know, I'm convinced that's all praying through is. You know, all those old guys talk about, you got to pray through. Well, what they mean is you got to pray till you know. And the way you know is when the peace of God's ruling. When the peace of God settles it. You know, if you're here today and you're a Christian, then you know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not going to try to describe it for you. I can't do that. But I can give you an idea of when it will happen to you, all right? You're about to make a decision. And I'm going to go any decision. Right? This is how aware, this is how interested the Spirit of God is in your life. Ladies, you want to know what to cook for supper. Simple as that. What should I cook for supper? Now, does God care what you cook for supper? I believe He does. I believe He does. And I believe if you ask Him, that He will guide you in that decision. And He will guide you by you will either have peace or you will not. Now, what you say, Brother Tom, you don't really mean that. I mean it. I mean it. I mean it.
He'll guide you about what kind of clothes you ought to put on. He'll guide you about where you ought to go in the evening. He'll guide you about what you want to watch on television. He will give you His will in every single matter if you will let the peace of God rule in your heart. But now, you need to be listening. And when He guides you, you need to be willing to be guided. You see, that's where we foul up. Because we will go charging ahead and we will have no kind of peace, and we will do it just because it's what I want to do. And folks, self has reared his ugly head. The Spirit of God has been smashed down into the floor. You are in charge and you are in trouble. I say, Brother Tom, over supper? I dare say that if we'll start listening, He will guide you even down to what you cook for yourself. Said Brother Tom, never had the Lord speak to me about supper. You ever listened? You ever asked? Are you willing to do it if He tells you? Brother Tom, you're crazy. Try it. Try it. Try it. How would you like to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that your relationship with the Lord is such that He can guide your every step, every word, every moment? Isn't that where we want to be? No. That's the problem. See, we know that God will answer prayer according to His will. And we know how to find His will. What we need to pray for is the grace to do it when we know it. Amen. And you know, once I know His will, folks, it's easy to pray in faith then. Now, I want to tell you, He won't always show you. Okay, there's a difference between faith and sight. But once I have discerned the will of God in a matter, brother, I can pray knowing that I'm going to get what I'm praying for. And there will be no surprises. Now, that's almost how you can tell those shotgun prayers, when you're surprised and God answers one. Amen. I'm just throwing them out there, God answered one. Praise God, I got a prayer answered. We shouldn't be like that, should we? That's not what the Word of God says. Folks, we ought to pray knowing, expecting God to do what He says. Amen. All right. God promises to answer our prayer. His ability to answer must be consistent with His character. And in order to get an answer, we must pray according to His will. Let's stand and let's do that. Amen. My Father, Father, there's some things that, Lord, we know without any question or Your will. Father, to pray for our daily bread. Father, to pray for souls, Lord. Father, to pray for laborers for the harvest field. Father, to pray that we'd be protected, not led into temptation. Father, that we would be forgiving. Father, we're told to pray for our brethren, Lord. To pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that they would be growing and stronger and edified and safe. And Father, we know these things. And Father, we know that You'll answer. Father, there are other pieces and parts, Lord, that we're not so sure of. But Father, we do understand that sin is a hindrance. And Father, my prayer tonight for each of us, Father, is that You would show us where the hindrances are in our prayer life. Father, we're going to see other things that will open that circuit, but Father, not praying in the will of God is certainly one of them. And God, would You give us wisdom in this thing? Show us our sin problems, Father. Show us what Your will is, Father. Let us learn to live a life of praying without ceasing. And God, praying in faith, praying, believing, and looking, and searching, and waiting, and knowing that you hear and you answer. And Father, we thank you for what you're doing. God, bless our invitation time now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.